Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, all seven rounds of heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. 6 ranked teams, including 2 in the top 10, lost in a wild week 4 of college football. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the one college football fan desperate to see Aaron Judge's 61st homer, but not desperate enough to change the channel and tune into it. And with me, as always, is AJ, never bet against Rick Stock still, Marchese.
Yeah, I got the Judge game on right now, one eye on the podcast, one eye on history, brother, okay?
And another eye on Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Always I got an eye on Murfreesboro. Remember the time I went deep into their Facebook pages? Let's not talk about that, though, on the podcast.
Yeah, we keep those to ourselves. Today we're talking all the NFL draft prospects who boomed, doomed, and loomed during week 4 of college football. Let's hit it!
I'll see you at the Stocksdale Family Barbecue.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby, driving out to KC maybe, looking for Stroud or a Bryce Young.
Who's gonna wear a Hawaiian shirt today?
Who's gonna put ketchup on a stick?
Who's gonna find a steal in the fifth? The home team, let's go 7 rounds. Let's go 7 rounds together. Let's go 7 rounds forever. And that's a song.
Today's episode of 7 Rounds in Heaven is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and non-sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in @sportsdrink. Spell like sports drink without the vowels. All we ask is that you close the door behind you. We're trying not to let the funk out. The funk's finally out in Atlanta.
I knew it exactly what you were going to say.
I know, I'm predictable. But you know what they say?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you play the classics?
That's a good point. I like that we've had a coaching firing to talk about like every episode for this.
It's perfect. You should call your shot. Who's next in the Power 5?
Ooh, that's a good game to play. Okay, first of all, do we have one this week?
Yes.
Okay. You give me your prediction and I'll think on it.
Okay, well, I'm also thinking on it. Well, I think on it. I'm just going to
talk about Jeff Collins?
We're talking about Jeff Collins. Jeff Collins out at Georgia Tech despite him pretending he was going to like really turn it around by using social media and making Georgia Tech the place for all of Atlanta. Super did not work. He never won more than 3 games. Former DC at Florida, head coach at Temple. Wasn't even all that successful at Temple. Kind of just like took over after Matt Rhule and somehow rode that to being Georgia Tech's head coach. Post Paul Johnson, so post triple option era. They never really found their footing. He did have his first year. They had the 27th ranked recruiting class, and they pulled in Jahmyr Gibbs, who obviously has since transferred to Alabama, and Jeff Sims. Like, that was off to a good start. And I remember people – there was, like, no pun not intended. There was some buzz out of Atlanta, and they just – it never worked on the field. And I feel like Jeff Sims has flashed talent but never touched his potential. And
yeah. Sims and Gibbs, when they first, like, their first few starts were fun. And then it's like, all right, this rest of the team is terrible.
Well, I mean, yeah, and then once Gibbs was gone, it was just like, oh.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we've had a Pac-12 coach in Herm Edwards fired, a Big Ten coach in Scott Frost fired, And now an ACC coach in Jeff Collins fired. Call your shot. Neil Brown next in the Big 12?
Yep. No, he just, come on. Just left Blacksburg with a big one. Pfft, not, he's there for a decade.
Who's got the worst record in the SEC? Eli Drinkwitz could be next, actually.
Oh, yeah. Missouri. Yeah, that's actually a good call.
What's his name? The freshman that they landed, Luther. He, like, deleted all the. There was a tweet, and it sounded like he was entering the transfer portal. Nothing official yet since the tweet has been deleted. So he's a pretty good bet.
I think that is the bet. I think that's the smartest bet.
I mean, Beamer next year, but
yeah, that's, I'll lock that one in.
Yeah, I honestly think I would go Eli Drinkwitz just because Michigan State can't fire Mel Tucker.
That was so, I remember when they made that contract last year. I came on the show. I'm like, that is so.
I think no one thought it was good.
Yeah, jumping to conclusions. They beat Michigan. Well, it's like, so let's classic. Lock them in. Yeah, it is classic.
Jeff Hafley at BC.
Yeah, that. Who you pounded the table for, I'll never forget.
Well, yeah, I thought Phil Dracovic, your guy, was good.
Guess who I pounded the table for and still am.
Georgia Tech.
Back to the triple option, right? That's the obvious choice here.
Well,
right?
You hire Jeff Monken.
Yep.
And you win the ACC championship. Who would you hire if I'm assuming you checked out Chris Vanini and or Bruce Feldman's list?
Yeah. Why not Monken? Like, for real.
Either Monken. Todd or Jeff.
Todd or Jeff. Or Jeff. Yeah, there you go.
You want to get back to the triple option, you hire Jeff. If you want to keep modernizing things, you hire Todd.
There you go. I think it's simple.
What
do you think of the odds of Deion being the guy?
I don't think this is the spot for Deion, strictly because Georgia Tech is...
not cool, correct.
Not one, it's super not cool. And two, Georgia Tech's harder to recruit to because of the academic standards.
Yeah.
It's an engineering school, too. So it's like they have less options for majors for players.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not to the same level as a Stanford or a Northwestern, but it's along those lines. So to me, you're hiring Deion for what he can do on the recruiting trail. And this job, to me, Deion, I get that it's in Atlanta, but I think Deion would understand the limitations there.
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing. I don't know. Plus the prime prep stuff's pretty questionable. And Bill O'Brien's name keeps surfacing,
yeah,
but he's surfacing for every job.
Yeah.
He has the same agent as Nick Saban. So I kind of think like they're just really pushing Bill O'Brien on every job, you know?
I mean, that's happened every year with the Alabama reclamation project.
He coached at Georgia Tech, though, for like 7 years.
That's weird. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, in 95 to 02 or something. So, like, there is a connection there. Obviously, Todd, or, like, if they did go back to the triple option, Jeff Monken's the best option. Todd Monken makes a lot of sense because he's already at Georgia.
Yeah.
He's worthy of a low-level Power 5 job. He's had success as a head coach at Southern Miss. He runs a creative offense. So that makes sense. Jamie Chadwell, I think, is maybe the most interesting one.
Yeah, I think, like, Chadwell kind of makes sense for all these low-level Power 5 gigs. But, like, that one maybe more so because, you know, because of that office he runs and because geographical purposes.
Yeah. And then I was seeing Del McGee, the run game coordinator at Georgia, who he was a high school coach in the area forever. Now he's just producing Pro Bowl running back after Pro Bowl running back. He's already in the state. I don't know. Who would you hire?
Honestly, I want them to go back to the roots and just get Jeffy Monkey, baby.
I don't think they will, though.
I don't think they will, but...
I don't know. It just seems so ridiculous to have spent 4 years trying to get out of the triple option just to go back to it.
Just to go back, yeah. I don't think they will, but they should.
I think Jamie Chadwell makes the most sense in terms of young offensive mind, culture builder,
yeah.
Runs an offense that isn't stone age like the triple option, but it's creative enough that you can win with less talented players
doing
it.
Yeah.
Plus, I want to see Jeff Sims in it.
Do you think they'd make the turf yellow?
They'd have to.
I think that'd be cool.
They'd have to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, probably Bill O'Brien gets hired and this team wins 7 games every year.
But that's good for them, though.
Yeah, sure. Sure, AJ. All right, that's enough. Hear us next week as we break down Eli Drinkwitz getting fired at Missouri. College football week 4 superlatives. We're like a quarter of the way through the season.
Isn't that fucked already?
I don't like that. That makes me sick.
It's the end of September.
It's crazy. And we're both 4-0.
Yep. Best freshman, Rob.
I had by far my least ever.
Yeah, me too. I only have one, and to me, he's the only one that matters.
CJ Donaldson.
I was going to, but we've talked about him. I'm like, hey, maybe Rob will have him too.
I mean, he had all. Obviously, it was the backyard brawl. It was a weekday game, week one, so yeah. Everyone was watching. But he's continued to be very good. He carried West Virginia on what was that? Was that Thursday night or Friday?
Thursday, yeah.
Thursday night. And he's been one of the best freshmen in the country, and it just still blows my mind that a 240-pound tight end is playing running back and become one of the most exciting, I think, running backs in the country.
Yeah, I love him. I love him. Actually, I read the Athletic article. He's never played tight end. He's like, I don't know why I was listening to tight end. I think it's just the size. And
Was he a receiver in high school, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And Neil Brown and co. went down to recruit him, and they're there for another kid. And he ended up, like, walking by the office just as they were, like, talking about him. And then they came in and talked. And then they're, like, they got stuck in traffic, and they kept watching tape on him. And they're like, okay, we're going to offer him. It was, like, a weird story, and now he's the best player on the team.
That's awesome.
Yeah, speaking of best players on the team, the mightiest Terrapin, if you will, Rob. Antoine Littleton, who apparently came into the program at 290 pounds as a running back, an actual running back. ESPN still has got him at like 285. He's listed on the Maryland roster at 235, like 6'1", 235. Behemoth. I love it. He's a big old boy. He was great. He had 8 carries, 39 yards, a touchdown. Was doing damage against that Michigan D. I honestly felt they didn't give it to him enough. He kept moving the ball. He's a thumper if you ever saw him. I just love that. 290 running back, that not anymore, but it's still awesome after his redshirt year got down. I love that. That's a fun back.
Best freshman is a category just for heavy set running.
100%. 100%. Because it's like, no one really cares about this category. Let's talk about the big backs.
It's a good take. And with that, we'll just transition over to the best sophomores. Where I only have wide receivers this week.
Me too. That's funny. Maybe we have the same. How many guys you got?
3.
Me too. I wonder if it's the same 3 guys.
I'll start with the first one I saw in the noon slate. Jamal Banks at Wake Forest.
1-for-1 here. Yeah, Jamal Banks, man. 6'4", 208. Big dog. Like, he just kept winning deep, right?
And obviously, like, A.T. Perry's the guy. But and Donovan Green was great 2 years ago now, I think. And last year was Ja'Cory Roberson. He's gone. And they just keep finding these big athletic ball winners who fit that slow mesh passing game with Sam Hartman so well. And Banks was just so dynamic. He was the start of the show against Clemson. The Clemson corners stood no chance, and it was Banks who was giving them the most problems.
Yeah, 141, 2 touchdowns. Like, he's got that size. He's physical. He's got some speed, like you just said. And that big body, yeah, they really had no chance against him. It was a lot of fun.
Who's your next one?
Troy Franklin at Oregon.
Yeah, who... I remember when Mario Cristobal won the recruiting battle to get him. I think it was over USC, and it was like kind of a big deal. And he had a okay freshman year, nothing spectacular, boring offense in general. And now he's just every week making massive plays. And obviously, that touchdown's what kind of sparked the Ducks to come back in that insane game against Washington State.
50-yarder, yeah.
He's just really, really fast.
Yeah, and he's 6'3", too, all like 180, like thin, but yeah, that's speed. I mean, they had a hell of a time covering him deep, 137 yards, a touchdown. It feels like the Ducks haven't had like a really high-end receiver in a long time, so it'd be kind of fun if this is the guy.
Agreed. And finally, Emeka Egbuka?
Yeah, we went 3 for 3. Fuck.
6 catches, 118 yards, 2 touchdowns against Wisconsin. He's wearing the Chris Olave, too. He looks like the Chris Olave for this offense. Early on in the season, he was kind of like it felt like the safety valve for CJ Stroud once JSN got hurt. And now he's just become such a more dynamic player, especially as a Yak guy.
Yeah, Yak's been good all year.
He's a well-built true sophomore at 6'1", 203.
Where was the hype level coming into the season with Egbuka out of the Buckeye State?
So he was obviously Marvin Harrison entering this year was the one with all the hype. But Egbuka was the higher recruit, right? He was the number one wide receiver recruit of his and Marvin Harrison's class. He's another West Coaster loss because he's from the state of Washington.
Don't like that.
So there was a lot of hype when they landed him. It'd been quiet since, and especially going into this year, just the combination of Harrison and JSN had overshadowed it. I didn't know he was going to be this important to the offense so quickly. Obviously, JSN getting hurt had a big deal to do with it, but I thought he'd have more of the Julian Fleming route, where Fleming was the number one receiver in his class. He's a year ahead of Egbuka and Harrison. He's in JSN's class. And I thought he would kind of have that slow burn the way Fleming has, but bam, he leads the team in receiving yards.
Yeah, and he's looked damn good doing it.
It's given them, Ohio State, the ability to kind of slowly bring JSN back. Yeah. They brought him back for a bit the previous week against Toledo. He was in there a little bit. I think he had like 2 catches for 15 yards. And then they just didn't bother playing him this week because they didn't need to.
It's kind of fucked.
They can save maybe the best receiver in the country for when they're playing. It used to be that Wisconsin was a hard win, but
yeah.
They're just saving JSN for strictly the Michigan game, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is the way the Big Ten should be. It should be nothing else matters except for Ohio State and Michigan. Isn't it? Shouldn't it be?
Yeah, I agree. and Rutgers, Iowa.
And Rutgers, Iowa. Yeah, and I mean, definitely. That was the game of the week.
Agreed. All right, well, we flew through that. Speaking of games of the week, how about that Syracuse-Virginia game on Friday night?
Was a good game.
A perfect weekday warrior performance from a non-Malik Cunningham player. the ACC owns Friday nights, baby.
They do. It's good for the brand.
It's good business. This upcoming Friday we got Washington-UCLA, though, so kind of sick, and there's no ACC game.
That's sick.
But yeah, I think you got to give it to Garrett Williams.
I give Garrett Williams my defensive prospect of the week.
Okay, I put someone else there, but I fully believe you can put him there. Like when we put the stock up graphic together, he might be number one.
All right, I mean that orange and the blue looks good. So
your guy too.
Go ahead.
It was kind of just like. Virginia was one of the most dynamic passing attacks last year. They return a lot of that. Obviously, the whole offensive line's gone, but they return a lot of that this year. It hasn't gone quite that way, but it was certainly a great chance to get a look at Garrett Williams against two potential NFL receivers and a potential NFL quarterback. Hard to find in the ACC. He was unbelievable. He had the big fourth down PBU on a quick out to Keaton Thompson, and then later he had the interception that was like a bit of a gimme. He came across the field and just read it for days.
But it was a good play, like you know, lesser DBs don't make it. Yeah,
yeah, and I don't know. Throughout the game, he was just everywhere in coverage against Dontavian Wicks and Thompson.
Yeah, like I feel like he was like the biggest difference maker on the defensive side of the ball this week, like in terms of like a win or a loss for his team. So that's why I give him Defensive Player of the Week. I think he had two fumbles recovered too, but like yeah, like the interception was a gimme, as in like he was just sitting on it. But like he came off his man and he was just perfectly there. That PBU was great. It's a Big Ten performance, and like the ACC owns Friday night, and yeah, that offense used to be good, but. No, I thought Williams was great. I'm sticking with purple and purple with blue and orange though, baby. Going with our guy Chase Brown as my weekday warrior. I actually watched the game. I watched the game, so I have to talk about it. Brown was good, man. He's 20 carries, 108 yards, touchdown, still leading the country. Ho-hum for him, but he's just so damn good. Like, he's shifty. He's making lots of guys miss. He's got good contact balance, good vision. And a really good athlete. Like, yeah, I mean, he's just good. He's just good. Did you say this, that he's very James Robinson, or did you say that about someone else?
I said that about someone else.
I kind of feel like with him, like, I just see that in the league. Like, James Robinson, watch him on Sunday. He's better than Travis Etienne. I just feel like that's what he's going to be. Like, he's just going to go in and be damn good.
I feel like he's a better athlete than Robinson. Yeah. Not quite the same physical guy. I think I said that about Mo Ibrahim.
No. Mo Ibrahim is Jerome Bettis.
More slender butt.
Yeah, like he's definitely got the higher. But I just feel like he's going to be that guy, like that. He's not gonna, like, you know, no one's gonna fucking get that excited, but he's damn good.
I think by the end, like, because of the athleticism and the production he's put on in the Big Ten, like, he's gonna be at the Senior Bowl, and I think he's gonna be a quiet riser.
I think he, like, should be. He should be.
But that's a very good pick. Illinois is another team who should just play all their games on Friday nights.
They should.
Okay, you mentioned Garrett Williams, your best defensive prospect, but who's your best offensive prospect?
I went with C.J. Stroud.
Okay, thank you very much. Me too. Two weeks in a row. I did it cheaply last week against Toledo. This week against Wisconsin, he certainly, I think, is consensus here.
It was too easy, but it wasn't easy. Like, it wasn't easy throws. He was making, like, crazy impressive, the timing, the accuracy, the tight window throws for that Ibuka touchdown. Just make it look so easy.
Against one of the best defenses in the country, threw for 281, 5 touchdowns. A pick that was, like, kind of a meh.
Yeah,
just on the sideline, just kind of overshadow receiver. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, the one touchdown to Ibuka where he put it perfectly between the safety and the corner, where only Ibuka could get it, that was crazy.
In the red, yeah.
It was a quick slant or something?
Yeah.
The one where he kind of rolled to his right and there was a lot of traffic, and he just pinpointed Julian Fleming in the back of the end zone, who made a great toe tap grab. Like, it was the quality of which he was throwing these touchdowns to.
Yeah. Now, like, look, when all the other quarterbacks in the class not named Bryce Young have been bad to, it's just like C.J. Stroud's. Like, I think he's even, like, you know, put himself head and shoulders above Bryce Young too.
Well, I mean, some of us had that coming.
You didn't? No, I think a lot of people did. See, a lot of people was like, this is a hands down QB1, and I think he's going out and improving it. Go ahead.
I mean, so far, obviously, we're just a quarter of the way through the season, but I have a hard time saying anyone other than C.J. Stroud's at the top of the Heisman ballot. Through 4 games, over 1,200 yards, 16 touchdown passes, just one pick, completing 70.5% of his throws, 10.9 per attempt. Like, other than fucking Stetson Bennett, who are we arguing?
Yeah, for real. For real.
And to no fault of Bryce Young, like, his receivers just aren't near the level of Stroud, so it's harder for him to put up the same kind of video game numbers each week. But then when you just I get the argument being like, well, C.J. Stroud just throwing the NFL receivers, and look at Justin Fields. He's struggling in the NFL. But it's just watch the way his ball placement, the way he can layer these throws, the ability to work through his reads so quickly to look defenders off. It's just he's such a different type of quarterback than Justin Fields anyway.
Yeah, he is.
He is such a cerebral and accurate quarterback. And I think that one thing you might argue him versus Bryce Young is, like, Bryce Young does kind of have this weird
it factor.
It factor, which isn't something you can quantify, per se. I don't know. I just think C.J. Stroud is the number one pick come April.
And yeah, he's got, like, that point guard feel to him, but, like, he's like a point god. He's a point god. I think that's what he is. You know, he's got that, like, he's got the physical talent to transcend just, you know, a facilitator, you know what I mean? It's like he's a damn good quarterback.
And they play Rutgers Saturday, so whatever. They play Michigan State, who, I mean, maybe 2 weeks ago we would have thought it was a game. Whatever. Yeah. That Iowa defense is good, and that's in October 22nd, and then they play Penn State after that. So that's when we start to really see him get tested, I think, will be Iowa and Penn State. And then obviously Michigan to end the year. But I don't know. There's I have a hard time seeing anyone else in this Heisman race right now, especially given the quarterback play, the inconsistent quarterback play we've seen.
So I was going to say, like, it doesn't seem like there's going to be that these big time games in the SEC until the championship game. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's going to be kind of boring. And then, okay, Alabama, Georgia, here we go. You know? Like,
yeah.
And I mean, that week counts for the Heisman ballot, and Bryce Young could have the Heisman moment there. But, you know, it feels like Stroud's going to have a couple more games and then the Michigan game, too. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
So, obviously, Garrett Williams was your guy.
Mm-hmm. Who's yours? I'm curious. I felt like it wasn't like a clear cut week.
It wasn't. And so I probably should have just put Garrett Williams. I figured all this Ohio State hubba blub. I should pay some respects to the school up north whose ass we will kick in a couple weeks. And so I went with Mazi Smith.
Oh, he was one of my top shooting off the boards.
Yeah, I think he has clearly taken his game up a notch.
This is like the first game where we're like, yeah, all right, this is the number one freak.
There was some plays in this game where there was one play where he didn't even get there. But he was coming.
Yeah.
It was like an outside zone run or something. Or maybe Talia was running it. And he was so far away. And the speed in which he caught up to the runner as they went out of bounds just like blew my mind. But there was a couple plays where he stacked, he shed, he made the tackle at or around the line of scrimmage. He showed some insane lateral agility for a 330-pound nose tackle. He also, I thought, showed more pass rush.
Yeah, I think they credit him with four pressures. Seen. Like that's pretty good. Four pressures is pretty good. Yeah.
And like what did he end up with? Just one TFL, but the TFL he just blew by the center with just
like an arm over. Yeah,
and one on one with the running back in the backfield and just crushed him. Just ate him alive. And he had a couple of plays like that where they didn't end in TFLs, but he made similar plays like that around the line of scrimmage throughout the game. I just thought you saw him turn that athleticism into production on the field,
mm-hmm.
and you saw his hands kind of get unlocked in a way we hadn't previously seen.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. I mean, totally agree. And, like, you just saw that, like, he's got the goods in you know, tenfold to be, like, a high-end run defender with that quickness and the power. And, like you just said, the hands starting to unlock a bit. This was like the welcome to being a dude game for Mazi Smith, for sure.
Big time in a very deep interior defense blind class.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of that game, who's your number one shooting up the board?
Yeah, so like my top three guys were actually from that game.
Mine too.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with Jalen Duncan number one.
Okay. I wasn't sure where you were gonna be. I thought Jalen Duncan was phenomenal, even though they lost.
Oh yeah, he was fucking awesome. He was rock solid. Just played such a clean game against Michigan. Like, I don't know if he gave up a pressure all day.
He gave up one to Mike Morris, who you had mentioned.
Morris is good.
Did you mention him for out of nowhere a couple weeks
ago? No, I mentioned McGregor. I think we talked about him off podcast one time.
Okay, because I do have Mike Morris for out of nowhere this time. Because he was the only one who gave Jalen Duncan any trouble. He had one good pressure where Duncan just didn't get to his landmark, and Morris showed some pretty sweet athleticism. The other pressure that I think, if you blame Duncan, it wasn't his fault. It was because the back was supposed to chip Morris and just didn't.
Yeah,
and they weren't on the same page. But other than that, Duncan, I thought, was incredible, both in the run and pass game.
Yeah, I thought, like, the pass was just kind of, you know, mirrored clean, handled, like, pretty much everyone except for those couple reps against Morris. But, yeah, I thought he really looked good against the run. Like, there was that one play, I think it was in the first quarter. They pulled him, like, back across the line, and he just fucking picked up his dude and, like, blew him up. Not a pancake, but washed him away. Like, that was great. They followed him up his ass for the Littleton touchdown, too. Yeah, I thought, like, this is, like...
He finds guys in space really well.
Yeah, he does. He does. He's really fucking good.
In pass protection, his combination of kind of his foot speed to mirror, but also I think his hands have gotten better. There was – I think I tweeted out one of them. It was kind of near their own end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this pass rep it might have been against Morris.
I think it was, yeah.
Where he just grabbed his hand and shoved it down
yeah.
and then mirrored him, and it was just incredible. And – I don't know. He looked like the first round tackle that we thought he could be.
Controlling hands feels like it's a lost art sometimes for college tackles.
Yeah, big time.
When it's not easy, but that's like the easy way to win. You know, if you can do it, it's like you got him done. Totally. I think next up's got to be Blake Corum. Because
243 yards and 2 touchdowns coming off his 5 touchdown performance.
Yeah, there's your Heisman winner right there, Rob. I don't know what you're talking about, CJ Stroud. Carried the team. He carried them. They needed him. He carried them. Like absolute stud. Both of his touchdowns too. Like there were I don't know what 30 and 40 ish or whatever. Press a line on. There was both like 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1. Press a line just suckered everyone inside. And then bounce outside, and it was just his quickness and his speed was just
too. Burst is wild.
Yeah, it's just too impressive. Like the quickness, the burst, like just how loose he is. He looks really fucking good. He's gonna make an NFL team really happy. It's like that 1B probably running back, you know.
Just the kind of one cut lateral explosion gets north south, but you're doing that with legit straight line speed, and it's resulting in massive gains, massive chunk runs.
Yeah, big time. And I mean, like, Edwards was out. Like, Stokes fumbled. Like, they needed him. They needed him, and it was a tough game, and they came up huge.
Is your third guy from this game Luke Schoenmaker?
No, it was Mazzie Smith. It was Mazzie Smith.
Oh, okay, mine's Luke Schoenmaker. I think he's awesome.
He's pretty good,
He's becoming – I loved him over the summer because, like, this guy's Nick Boyle. Like, he's just such a – they just use him and Eric all together so well. He's such a good blocker. But then in this game, obviously he scored the touchdown off that muffed kickoff return, like immediately. But he just does a really good job kind of just finding holes in space. He solid hands, incredible blocker, can be the lead blocker both out of the backfield, inline or at H-back. I just think he is the type of tight end who goes day three, plays in the NFL for 10 years.
And all was out, so like this was kind of his like time to shine game.
And, and you know what? I just read this tweet that says he listens to EDM before games. One of his favorites are remixes of Seven Nation Army. So, I mean, this all guy's in. A psychopath.
All in. Actually, you know, my third guy from this game should really be Chad Ryland, the fucking Maryland kicker.
Oh, yeah.
He's a damn stud. I think they said like he had like 22 in a row. But like this guy, he should have been kicking on Sunday. Like,
your kicker had the second longest streak, and it was like Mooney. 10 less.
Yeah, Mooney's a good kicker too. Like he'll be kicking the NFL. But Ryland looks like holy fuck. He's got the range. He was like his 52 yarder looked like it was good from 60 and right down the middle. Like he should be like they should call him up right now. He's like I think he's a 5th year senior. So like why even bother with this Maryland stuff? Go kick for the fucking Giants. You know.
All right, that's enough. That's enough Michigan talk. But I'm gonna that's all I got. Big Ten. The Ohio State offensive line was incredible against Wisconsin.
It was.
They ran for 258. Paris Johnson, we all know the story there. He's going to go in the first round. I thought DeJuan Jones was just a monster in the run game.
Yeah.
And Luke Weipler's quickly become one of the best centers in the country.
Well, we know we can't trust Ohio State centers, though. I have less faith in Ohio State centers than Ohio State quarterbacks.
Yeah, but you know he's going to get drafted top 100.
Oh, yeah. Weipler looked good. Regardless. No, I think I put Johnson versus Herbig for the prospect versus prospect match. I should have given to – sorry?
It wasn't much of a battle.
No, I know. Johnson shut him down. Like, that's why I want to highlight it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll save that. But, yeah, DeJuan Jones, like, this was, like
– this was his time to shine.
Yeah, for sure.
Just a mammoth in the run game. And, yeah, Weipler is – I don't think he comes out this year's redshirt sophomore. And it's looking like a pretty solid center class, but he'll win a Remington before it's all said and done.
Billy Price comp.
Can I give you some more linemen?
Yeah, please.
I thought Layden Robinson was really good against Arkansas. Just crushing guys, especially in the run game. He looks really good pulling. And Cooper Beebe.
He's Cooper playing. Beebe's always good, baby.
They moved him from tackle to left guard, like, for real, after we were all projecting him to play guard in the NFL. But they actually just moved him there because he's amazing. They ran for 275, and he's, like, the widest player on the field.
Yeah,
and
man.
He just eats people, but you're just always blown away with his ability to climb to the second level and kind of operate in space for a man of his size.
I feel like Beebe's so clean.
He's really good. He's really good. And
it's really good.
One more Kansas State player. I thought Julius Brents looked pretty good. The Iowa transfer. Just like got an 82-inch wingspan or something.
That's sick. Do we got to give Sam Hartman some love? for that ball game?
I don't know. That offense is too weird. I don't understand.
I wasn't sure. I mean, it's so goofy. I don't enjoy watching it.
I love it.
I don't know.
I'm so excited.
It annoys me. I don't know. Like, it's like, yeah, okay, just stop meshing. I don't like. It's just annoying. But he had a hell of a game against Clemson. I thought on the flip side, Tyler Davis was really good.
I put Tyler Davis for a prospect. It made me look stupid.
Okay, go. You can do your thing now.
6 tackles, 2.5 TFLs, 1.5 sacks, broken pass.
Yeah.
He was just like kind of just leaning on his quickness and his rip move to create pressure. He was really the only Clemson front seven player who I thought stood out for most of this game. Was viewed as one of the best senior interior defensive linemen in the country. I thought he was more of like a 6th round guy. I had heard top 100 talk. I kind of poo-pooed that over the summer. He looked like that type of impact player. Mm-hmm. And he's got a bigger role this year than he's had in the last two.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Last one, Rob. Last one. You've already mentioned him on the show, actually. So have I. Mo Ibrahim is a fucking... He's unstoppable. He is unstoppable. Injuries? No. 3,000 carries? Doesn't slow him down. I love him. Another 100-yard game of touchdown. He's got the goods to be worth a late-round pick, and like he's not slowing down. So take him. Take him and run him.
We can't go an episode without mentioning him.
I love him. He's like probably my favorite player in the country. So
I know he is. Sliding down the board, I'll go back to that Friday night game with Syracuse. In Virginia, Dontavian Wicks, him and Britton Armstrong, after having such a great year last year and Wicks being the big playmaker for them, they just have zero chemistry. They don't seem to be on the same page, and Wicks has had a lot of drops this year. I thought 2 or 3 in this game, just finished with 42 yards. Him and, like, multiple times it seemed like he ran, either he thought Armstrong was going somewhere else or he ran the wrong route, and it's just, I don't know what's happened there.
Yeah, I have both of them down, him and Armstrong. Like, I know Armstrong was like kind of a fringe guy like for us, but like he's not good at all. Like, this new offense like stinks. He's lost like whatever he had, like the fun quarterback. Bring back Bronco. Like that's it. Like this looks bad.
Big time.
I feel like we'd be remiss if we don't mention Tyler Van Dyke getting benched against Middle Tennessee State.
I spent so much time shitting on him last week.
I think this is it. Like, this is the put away. This is the last nail in the coffin here. Done. I don't know. Done for this year, at least, right? Like, I don't see him any chance of reigniting his stock.
Well, that is until he transfers to the proud University of South Florida.
Okay, well, that would be sick. I'm in on that. No, maybe get out of town. Like, that Miami team has done no favors for him, but he's also done no favors for himself, so.
Yeah, the Josh Gattis, Tyler Van Dyke.
Gattis will come back. Gattis will come back home at the end of the year. Yeah.
Hey, Marcus Arroyo's won the last 2 games at UNLV, so maybe Mario was the problem with Justin Herbig. It wasn't Marcus Arroyo.
Agreed.
I put Nick Herbig here and Keanu Benton.
Yeah, agreed.
Herbig, other than a zone drop into the hook curl where he broke up a pass, had zero impact on this game. He was not getting by Paris Johnson.
I thought he was okay in the run, but there was nothing in the like. Yeah. Paris Johnson just shut him the fuck down.
And Benton had such a little impact against the run.
Yeah, I'm selling the
Mayan Williams. Mayan Williams ran for 101 yards on like 11 carries through just massive holes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as a human bowling ball. And Trevion Henderson ran for like 121.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neither of them really showed up, I thought.
No, like a game where they desperately, desperately needed to step up, neither did. I agree. Like, Benton had some tackles, but like it was really nothing impressive. I don't have too long of a list this week for sliding, but like I'll mention Bryceford Whedon. I just thought like he kind of like wasn't a factor on Thursday night, and like had a couple of drops too, just 23 yards. I know
drops
like
drops have been hindering him, eh?
Yeah, and that's like maybe that's why he's kind of like, you know, like the first few games that we watched, it's like they're feeding him and say, like, okay, this makes a lot of sense. This game felt like, I mean, again, they were kind of in control the whole ball game, but like it just felt like he wasn't the go-to guy, and the drops might be the factor for that. So I just want to, I love him, but I just want to mention him.
How about sticking with receivers and going back to your Michigan game? The combo for Keem Jarrett and Dante Demas combined for 6 catches for 24 yards. Jacob Copeland was like the lone guy making plays. They tried to get Jarrett going on screens a couple times and just no bueno.
Yeah.
Demas just doesn't look like he's the same player he was pre-injury.
Yeah, they had 24 yards on 6 catches combined. And like Tuluia and like the passing game was like pretty good except for the picks, you know. And like Billy Edwards came in and had a really good drive out of nowhere, but like it was kind of weird cuz it wasn't them. You know, if you know, this Michigan defense has given up close to 300 yards passing, at least let it be Demas and Rakeem Jarrett, like, you know, doing work, but they weren't. No, that's a good call.
I also thought Miles Murphy was really quiet against Wake until very late in the game. He had, I think, a half sack and a pressure back-to-back. But prior to that, it was almost like he wasn't in the game.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Do you have any more? Or
no.
Should I throw it one more and we'll move on?
Go one more.
Reggie Grimes with Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Just wasn't making any noise against Kansas State.
No, kind of invisible.
And he had been putting up big numbers through the first three games. I don't know where prospects. I mentioned Mike Morris already, who had a sack and a hurry against Maryland. The only guy who could really get by Jalen Duncan.
Yeah, I know. Like each, like the Michigan's got like the low key pass rushers. Like I think McGregor's got something. Oki, it's in Niabi and Nyoma has changed his name to Oki.
He had a pressure too late.
Had some flashes, and yeah, Mike Morris is probably the best of them too.
Morris is 6'6", 278 or something too.
They're big. Did you have anyone else or just Mike Morris?
I threw Mayan Williams down because I think he's putting up numbers. And he's just a bowling ball.
I like Mayan Williams. He is fun. I know.
And Cade Stover.
Against Toledo, I figured you're going to name him. I put him down. Yeah.
Yeah. Against Toledo last week, he had a couple plays. He had a really great catch down the seam. And they hadn't, like, Jeremy Rucker was the tight end the last, like, 3 years. And he was never super involved in the pass game. They're involving Stover more than they ever did Rucker.
Smart. I think it's smart.
And against Wisconsin, he had the 2 touchdowns. And he should have had another where CJ Stroud did miss him. And he's a guy who showed up as an edge, moved to tight end, moved to linebacker, moved back to tight end, and he's still kind of learning the position. He's a very physical blocker, and I don't know, he's just quickly becoming a weapon.
Yeah, no, for sure. That he's like a huge riser, I think, like in the last 2 weeks. I put him down here, but I figured you're gonna mention him, so I didn't want to steal your thunder. So I'll go with another pass catcher, Caleb Smith, who like I thought kind of like flashed for the Hokies. Kind of like a big body guy, 6'2", 222, was kind of like their only thing going. Looked good, like contested catches, like flashed the body control on his touchdown. He kind of just like adjusted for the ball really, really well. 5 catches, 70 yards and a touchdown. Like again, felt like the only thing going good. Kind of just like intriguing with that size.
You love to see it. There's unlimited receivers in this.
In all of football.
Although actually, the top end guys this year
haven't been producing.
It's gonna be interesting to see what this wide receiver class looks like, from how we had it stacked in the summer to how we'll have it stacked in April. Because I think we're gonna see so much more change than we've seen in recent years.
Totally. Yeah. I like. It's gonna be really interesting.
Prospect you made me look stupid was Tyler Davis.
I put Hendon Hooker because, like, go ahead.
I was waiting for you to mention him because I was holding off in mentioning him because I put him for the prospect versus prospect matchup, Anthony Richardson versus Hendon Hooker.
Okay. I love it. I didn't mention Anthony Richardson anymore because friend of the show, Matt, is just bugging us about AR-15, our guy. But he was pretty good, but we'll get there in a second. I feel like Hooker, like, I thought, like, he was just kind of, like, so far, like, this year, he's not been as good as his stats. And I feel like I mentioned that a couple times on the podcast. But like with Cedric Tillman out, like he stepped up big time. Like he had 6 incompletions, 350 yards almost, 2 touchdowns, and his legs were the goddamn X factor for that Tennessee offense. Had 112 yards and a touchdown. He played great. He played really good. He lived up to these numbers. Yeah, like there was a one wide open one. But like he was hitting throws. He was poised. He was really consistent.
Yeah. RG3 City's the runaway Heisman winner.
He's the runaway Heisman winner. I totally agree. And then again, the legs were just a difference in this game.
My question to you, so obviously we're seeing this guy put up video game numbers in the Josh Heupel offense. He has the athleticism to make plays out of structure and in designed runs. He's a very poised quarterback.
Yeah.
I think we've seen him level up with his ball placement, the arms there.
Yep.
I spent today seeing tweet after tweet that he's probably QB3 in this draft.
Oh.
And I know we've been spending, like, each week we anoint someone else because that's how you know a quarterback class actually stinks.
Yeah.
Is that after Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, we're just like, oh, it's Anthony Richardson after week one. And it's, oh, Tyler Van Dyke's the only one who hasn't played bad. Well, fast forward. Will Levis, but Will Levis, like, is you always kind of come away disappointed in what you see from
him.
Tanner McKee, they're running some, they've taken the slow mesh offense to Stanford. Do you think that that's a real possibility with Hendon Hooker?
Maybe, but like,
it's way too soon to say.
It's too soon to say.
We have no idea.
We have no idea. He's got, the thing is, the Senior Bowl bump, I could see him going and looking good
there. He could be the top senior quarterback.
Yeah, I think he probably will be if I put money on it right now. But like, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying if he is QB, like, there's a chance he's QB3, but it's not going to be in the first round. And I don't think it's going to be in the second round. It could be in the top 100, though, you know?
Yeah. Him versus Anthony Richardson was a whole lot of fun. Richardson.
It was fun.
It's just the tools for days. It's not all there, but when it's on, it is on.
Yeah, that one, like, the one where he scrambled and just threw that line to, who was it, Shorter, I think? And yeah. He finished there. That was a hell of a play. Yeah, I know. Like,
threw for 453. Had four touchdowns. But then you look at his season stats. He's completed 53% of his throws, 5 interceptions, or just 2 touchdown passes.
Yeah. Like, that was like, yeah. I think that was like his first 200-yard passing game or something.
it was the first game of the season with a touchdown pass.
I know.
And prior to the 453 passing yards, his highest total this year was against Utah with 168.
Which he looked like he played
so
a great
green
game.
In the gills.
Yeah, yes, he is. He's gonna be hard to quit. He's gonna be hard to quit.
Yeah, he. I think it's pretty fair to assume he won't be in this draft.
No, no.
But he'll be viewed as a potential number one pick in the one after it.
Walter Football will have him locked in as a first overall pick.
Well, they have for several years.
They have. They're good at what they do.
Prospect who have played the box score.
You know, so we kind of talked on the Clemson D-line. I thought, like, Brian Brisee, like, you know, this wasn't the big-time dominant performance, but, like, you kind of mentioned with Murphy, I thought Brisee just really turned it on late and into the OT. And he only had 2 tackles. I thought, like, oh, like, he played better than that, you know? Like,
yeah.
So, like, again, you're kind of right, though. Like, the Clemson defensive line wasn't this powerhouse, but I thought, like, in the individual performance, that was pretty good. And then, yeah, he just kind of turned it on.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I went with Rajon Wright. Who, if you stayed up for Pac-12 After Dark and illegal streamed it because nobody has the Pac-12 network, you watched Oregon State cover against USC, almost win, in a defensive battle. And Oregon State's defensive backs in general, I thought, played a heck of a game. They kept them in it. Caleb Williams, it was the worst game of his career. And Rajon Wright, although he didn't put up, like, he had 6 tackles, he didn't break up any pass or anything. He was just pretty damn consistent in coverage, and every time they ran a screen in front of him to, like, Jordan Addison or Brendan Rice, he was downhill in a hurry, and he was looking to make tackles, which is always a plus with kind of these longer, leaner corners. I thought he had a really nice game, and so did Jaden Grant, their safety, and so did Alex Austin, their other corner. Like, they... Oregon State has a pretty good secondary.
When don't they? They put out dudes, baby.
So true. prospect is being overhyped.
So I kind of wanted to just talk about this guy because I felt like he was like the darling last week of draft media. Dan Henley, the Washington State linebacker. I don't know what you've seen.
I saw so many tweets last week.
Yeah, like a lot of, like, you know, it felt like everyone too, like the big media, like Kuiper moved him up into his top 25. Like, everyone was on him. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Wait, Uncle Mel?
Uncle Mel's got him top 25.
I do too now.
Like, I think he's fun. He's versatile. Like, he's a good athlete. I don't know about the hype though. He did not pop in that
type of way against Oregon.
No, and I went back and watched, like, some of the Nevada. He's a Nevada transfer and a 6-year senior. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched some of the tape from last year. I couldn't find any Wazoo tape this year. But, like, he's getting stuck on blocks. Like, the numbers look good. Like, 3 sacks last week. He can cover.
It's
like,
worth noting he did that against Colorado State, who might be the worst program in the country right now.
I think they are. Like he's definitely a big-time transfer. Huge pickup for Wazoo. Should have won that fucking game. And, like, shooting up the board. But, like, the hype is way too much. It just feels like they're like, yeah, we're this is the dude. I get it, but it's crazy.
That is crazy. I'll stick on defense. Felix.
Yeah.
And Uzoma, he just was not that type of player against Oklahoma in a big Kansas State win.
He got a bit banged up, I think, right, if I remember correctly. But
yeah, he did. But, like, he's kind of a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
With the power. Yeah. I just kind of came away in a game where Kansas State upsets Oklahoma. He just didn't really stand out that much.
No, he didn't. And that might be the injury, but I don't know. I agree with you. I think he's overrated.
Transfer popped on the scene.
I'll give you two. First of all, I think we got to shout out the transfer, the king of transfers, Brew McCoy. Like, going off with that Cedric Tillman on the field for 100 yards and a touchdown. Like, he looked good. That's the transfer. So I had to shout him out first and foremost. The second one, like the more low-key one, is Chico Bennett. He's not technically in his first year at UVA, but it was his first year playing, so you're going to let me have it shut up. Coming over from Georgia Tech, 6'4", 252, had a couple sacks, and like was just like a menace late in the game. Like had a really sick bull rush, went right through the I think it was right tackle, to get through Schrader. Had a sack. Yeah, go ahead.
We do need to credit Jeff Collins for recruiting him.
Yep, Jeff. Exactly. Another feather in Jeff's hat. Had a sack called back, like the play before was on an offside, but it wasn't him. I don't think so. Got some pass rushing chops. 6'4", 252. Kind of an interesting guy. I never heard of him. I enjoyed watching him in that game.
Tanner McAllister, the Ohio State DB who came with Jim Knowles from Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. He missed the previous game against Toledo. Was back against Wisconsin. Had the interception early. And then just before the half, he had that incredible PBU where he flashed big time range. He was covering the slot on like a post, and he felt the outside receiver get open, flipped his hip, showed the range, dove, and kind of just disrupted what would have been a walk in touchdown. Huge PBU. I thought he had a really nice game.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Finally, small school guy who cut your eye.
You got two. I watched Chattanooga go Mox.
I watched the cut up because I didn't watch a small school guy and I needed to watch McClendon Curtis against Illinois.
What'd you think? I thought he looked pretty good.
He looked pretty good. He looked like he belonged.
That's exactly what I wrote down. I looked like he belonged. And his highlight play was that awesome fumble recovery. Like, it looked like there's no mock in the screen and he like flies in and has a great fumble recovery. I'm like, yeah. That's a dude. He belongs on a Big Ten field. Should have transferred to a Big Ten school. No, I thought he looked good. Did you have anyone else?
No.
Okay, I'll give you one more. Another guy in Big Ten country. Never heard of him. John Wesley Whiteside, Central Michigan IDL. He's 6'1", 288. So he's got the undersized. He's like, yeah, this is a 3-tech. He feels like the next 3-tech for me to fall in love with. Played well against Penn State. 3 tackles, 2 TFLs. Had like an awesome swim move and blew up a huge TFL on Singleton. Also like pretty athletic. Like had one where like he chased Singleton down to the sideline and just knocked him out of bounds. Getting some pressure, like getting that like, you know, undersized 3-tech type that like, but like he's got like a wide upper body build. It's kind of interesting. 6.5 sacks last year, so he's got some of the stats to him. I don't know. This could be the Mac IDL that we fall for this year.
I just realized we'd be remiss not to mention the wide receiver duo at Middle Tennessee State.
Yeah.
Of Jalen Lane and DJ England Chisholm. Lane, who's kind of their top playmaker, had 4 catches for 130 yards. That's nothing. That's a mere 32.5 yards per catch. Well, DJ England Chisholm had 2 catches. For 169 yards and 2 touchdowns, averaging 84.5 yards a catch.
Luck. Okay.
And wait, I need to also mention the fact because Richie James is the Giants' go-to receiver right now. Mighty Mouse. Rick Stockstill's always had a type at wide receiver, just the smallest people. So Lane is 5'8", 174. DJ England Chisholm's 5'7", 150.
Look, when you're when you're in the like in the recruiting hotbed of Murfreesboro, and, you know, you're going down to some small school program, Miami, like
that program though, that they should be able to find way better talent in that state. But they don't, but it doesn't matter because Rick Stockstill's the man.
They know what they want. Like, it's like, yeah, Tennessee, you know, you can go to Tennessee. Memphis, you're better recruiting. You can go to Memphis. No, we know we want that 5'8", buck 70, soaking wet wide receiver. Like, and we're going to put you in the league. Like,
Probably these guys were, like, the quarterbacks on their local high school team. So we're just incredible. Like, put up mind-numbing stats. But because they were tiny, no one else offered them. But, old Rick Stockstill's got a scholarship for you if you're the size of a Smurf.
How bad of a look is it that, like, you go down to Miami and you're like, Miami's giving up those like those massive touchdowns to these tiny dudes? Like, I don't know. Fire Chris Ball. Chris Ball's the next head coach to get fired. I'm locking in.
Fire him and hire Rick Stockstill.
If Rick Stockstill got a Power 5 job, my life would be complete. My life would be complete.
Who, from what I understand, is like they can't fire him. They don't have any money there.
He runs the school.
Yeah, and like, from what I understand, their athletic department's like, runs like it's like 1960. It's like a ma and pa shop.
Okay, look.
Hence why Rick has hired Brent probably.
It is Middle Tennessee State, a family school. Okay, that's what we're gonna say.
All right. Enough of that. College football week 5 picks. AJ's one short of 6-pack. Rob's my 5. I went 3-2 last week. How'd you do?
Yeah, I went 3-2 as well. That Tennessee didn't cover, and
that killed me.
It killed me too. And then what was the? Clemson not covering by a fucking half a point. That's one point, whatever it was. That killed me too.
That was awesome.
Wazoo with the worst bad beat and then the best bad beat. That would save my ass. Yeah,
I'm 11-9 on the year.
That's good. I'm 8-11-1.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
All right, I'll start it off. Noon on Fox. Number 4 Michigan at Iowa. You got this game?
No, I didn't want to pick it.
Wolverines 10.5 point favorites. Iowa's incapable of scoring points. Their offense is generated by their defense.
Yes.
So, to me, even if Michigan's offense is slow, like, they can put up 21 points in this game, and I don't think Iowa can put up 10. And that's really all I'm thinking about. It's also going to be nice because it's kind of our first good look at Iowa. Justin Jacobs out for the year, though. But Jack Campbell, Kayvon Merriweather. There's a couple guys. Riley Moss, your favorite.
The GOAT, yeah.
But ultimately, I just think Michigan's going to beat up on them.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to, like, not turning the ball over. Like, you know what I mean? And it's, like, if McCarthy gets loose and starts throwing picks, then they're in trouble. But if not, they're going
to
be fine.
Yeah, literally just because Iowa needs pick sixes to put up points.
I love them. They're the best, though.
Speaking of nepotism, that Brian Ferentz as offensive coordinator. What's your first game?
Noon, ESPN, Kentucky and Ole Miss.
I got this.
Funky one. Yeah, the Rebs are minus 6.5. I went back and forth, too. I just felt like I had to pick this one. I'm not confident. This is like a one on the confidence meter. But I'm going to go with the Cats.
Me too. This is the type of game where Kentucky goes in and, I don't know, shows that Mark Stoops is the best coach in the country. This is a great chance to get a good look at Will Levis. The Ole Miss pass rush is kind of interesting. They've got a couple guys there who I think will play in the NFL. The Cats offensive line's young, but it's played well. Seeing Will Levis kind of show up in a big moment in a proven SEC match is important. I'm also interested to see how Zach Evans looks against a pretty good Wildcat defense.
It feels like a big Kentucky's like already had a couple games. It feels like a big prove it game for this year's Ole Miss team, though. But I can see them winning. But like, give me the 6.5 points.
Yeah, like I don't see like a 24-20 Ole Miss win. Maybe.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think Kentucky wins outright, but
I'm not. Yeah, I don't know. Like in the true case, I don't know which way this can go. So give me the points.
Yeah. My next one, 3:30 CBS.
Yeah.
Number 2, Alabama at number 20, Arkansas. Arky coming off that hilarious loss to Texas A&M where they doinked off the top of the upright. Alabama probably wins this game by a lot, is my take. Yeah. I'm taking Alabama minus 17. The thing about this Arkansas team is, as questionable as the Alabama receivers have been, mm-hmm. Arkansas's secondary is so bad. Mm-hmm. It is so bad. Even though Texas A&M wasn't taking advantage, like, Hudson Clark is not good at all. And he's a starting corner in the SEC. I think Bryce Young's going to torch these guys. This is going to be, like, his Heisman video game number game. Jahmyr Gibbs should go off as well.
Yeah.
And flip side of it, I just don't think KJ Jefferson and Raheem Sanders have the ability to keep up, especially yeah. when there's this defense that's just loaded at every level. Will Anderson should go off.
Agreed. Yeah. How many points do you think Arkansas will put up, though?
24.
Yeah, I was going to say like 20. Like, yeah.
Like,
between, yeah.
Like, I feel like 48-24 Bama win.
Yeah, I like that. I think, like, I think Arkansas can score. You know, they're fun. I don't know. But I feel like it's, you know, when they're a physical team and the secondary is kind of like, you know, rough, it's hard to out physical Bama, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, give me the Tide, too.
Okay. What's your next one?
3:30 Fox.
Okay, I don't have this.
I figure that's why I went here next. Oklahoma State and Baylor. Funky game. I don't like it either. The Bears are minus 2.5. Give me Baylor. I don't know. Oklahoma State hasn't been very impressive this year. Baylor maybe hasn't either, but I think they're just more solid and they're better coached. And just, you know, need to win by 3 points at home. I'll take that. I think Baylor's getting better too as the weeks go on.
Yeah, I heard good things about Blake Shapen this past week.
You could say he's shaping up, Rob. You could say he's shaping up. And yeah, I think it's just like 3 points at home, Waco. I'll take the Bears.
All right, 3:30 ABC because these are my two favorite teams in the country. Number 22 Wake Forest at number 23 Florida State.
To me,
they ranked the Noles.
They ranked the Noles finally. To me, if Wake can cover 7 against Clemson, they can do it against 7, FSU.
Yeah, that's my take. Are you taking that?
Yeah, I'm taking Wake.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know that they'll win, but Wake covers, baby. That's the one thing I know. Jordan Travis also is playing. They didn't run him very much last week, so I don't know how healthy mm-hmm. he is.
Yeah.
Jared Verse didn't play last week, which is obviously a huge component of their defense.
Yes.
They got some, like, Jamie Robinson's been really good on the back end.
Yeah.
But that slow mash can get the best of Clemson's. I think it can get the best of Florida State. I think this will be a really fun game, though.
I do too. And I'm going to start making up the Clawson cover shirts if you want one.
Please. my final game, I'm assuming yours as well, also ACC related.
Yeah, baby.
ACC week. 7:30 ABC, number 10 NC State on the road at number 5 Clemson. Clemson coming off that heroic OT win against Wake in which they allowed my Demon Deacons to cover. NC State blew the brakes off UConn. Who doesn't? I think this NC State team's fraudulent. They did not look good on offense against Texas Tech. Their defense is quite good.
Yeah.
They have one of the best linebacker crews in the country. So I think Clemson covers this. I think Clemson's defense is better. And I think their offense is better. DJU, we didn't mention him.
He did.
So much better this week.
He did. I mean, receivers were doing a lot, but he looked better.
Yeah, and that's the key. I mean, I just think they got more dogs at receiver than NC State's got right now. They got Devin Leary has been not good.
He's been bad, yeah.
Will Shipley's really coming on for the Clemson offense. I just don't know that this NC State offensive line, who could not block Tyree Wilson, I don't know how they're going to block KJ Henry, Brian Brzee, Tyler Davis, Miles Murphy, and some.
Yeah, like, I mean, Clemson beat Wake by 7. NC State's offensive line's not going to do that good of a job against Clemson's front.
Wake's offensive line really kept them in that game.
Yeah, and I think you know, NC State's defense, they did totally. NC State's defense will be better than Wake's was.
Yeah.
But I don't think it'll be enough. Like, I see, like, I don't know, like a 24-14 game. I don't think this is going to be like kind of a snoozer. But yeah, I think Clemson wins and covers.
Agreed. And that'll do it for us on this week's NFL draft oriented show. But tune in tomorrow, because I know AJ's got takes about this rookie class, and you'll want to hear them. So, we bid you adieu.